Chose us before the foundation of the world. And Lord, we thank you that we have an opportunity this evening to meet with you and to learn from you and to fellowship with you and each other. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may lead and guide and anoint, and that our lives will be changed and conformed to your will and image. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like to exhort you today with regard to prayer. And I think it fairly appropriate with what we're going through and the world global crisis, the epidemic that is around. We need to be a people who pray, and that we know that our prayers are prevailing before the throne of grace and mercy. And so I'm calling this teaching today, Jesus Reveals How We Should Pray. Jesus reveals how we should pray. There's quite a bit in the Bible, really, that does teach us how to pray. But of course, we can't really appropriate any of this unless we have the Holy Spirit, who indeed is the one who leads and guides and teaches us in all of this. But the basis of any prayer is to believe, to have faith. And Jesus said, even if it's the mustard seed of faith, that is enough to move mountains. So whatever our praying is, it must always be on the basis of believing. Otherwise, our prayers go no higher than the ceiling, and it is a waste of time. But the Lord does teach us and shows us much, and I'm going to, of course, base our teaching today on the Lord's Prayer, because although we know it, and we all learnt it at school, and we all used to pray it in our assemblies and in our classes, which sadly today I don't think many schools do that, but we were weaned on this prayer. And yet, like so many of these things, you can recite it, it can become repetitive, but do we really know what is actually being said here? And I'm basing this teaching, of course, from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. Verses 5 to 15 of Matthew 6. And we take it up where it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Actually, the word "openly" is not found in the original Greek, but it is put there. And it goes on in verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things which you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So that, of course, is a leading to what we want to talk about this evening. But I want to just raise one or two things first before we really open this up a lot more. And we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And he is our teacher with regard to prayer. And before we look deeper into the Lord's Prayer, I want us first just to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, which says here, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And then it goes on about not quenching the spirit and so on. So we start to get an idea of our walk, our daily walk with the Lord each day, and how in our walk with him, in that relationship, it says rejoice always. In other words, rejoice and praise him. Praise God for the good things. Have that attitude, that mindset. Be grateful, be thankful. Because we can always look upon the fact that it could be worse, infinitely worse. And then he goes on to say, pray without ceasing. In other words, it's being ready, it's being in that attitude of prayer. And so we start to glean what the daily walk as a Christian is and should be, and how that through the Holy Spirit, he makes us sensitive, maybe praying, or maybe just sometimes going apart, or just going into a room or into the toilet for a few minutes, just to offer up a prayer that is needful. I'm sure most of us have done this and will do this, which are all clear signs that we're open, we're ready, we're in communication, we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so God loves a heart that is thankful, that acknowledges and that praises God and thanks him. All of this helps us to be able to pray, but not only to be able to pray, but to be able to learn this model prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples and that he gives to us. And the reason that I start with this is because it is so easy to have these vain repetitions, to rattle off these prayers daily or whenever. And that is not the sort of prayer of an overcomer. That is not the sort of praying that we are to pray. And the reason that I say this is because there is so much to pray upon. And so we need the leading of the Holy Spirit in which to be able to pray, in which to intercede. In Romans 12 and verse 12. I know you know these scriptures well, but they're very applicable. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer. So we get a little bit more with regard to our prayer life, rejoicing in hope. Well, we have that hope set before us. We have eternity set before us. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom upon the earth and the restoration of Israel that she'll be saved. There's so much to hope for. So much in the Word of God. And says also, patient in tribulations. And we do, we go through trials and tribulations. And we have to stay its course until we come through. And it says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So in other words, you're steadfast. You're faithful. You are reliable. You are a saint. Known for your prayer life. And you'll know if you are, because you'll often find people will ask you or ring you up and say, could you stand with me or could you pray for so-and-so or whatever it is. I mean, that's a great privilege. When people are recognizing that you are a man or woman, a saint who prays. And they come to you because they know your prayers get answered. They know you are steadfast. They know you are faithful. They know you will do it and won't just say yes and forget all about it. And we've all done that one. I've done it. I said, yes, I'll pray for so-and-so what it is and completely forgot. Oh gosh, that really upsets me, that does. But praise God, that is a thing of the past. But that is most important, that we experience this as spirit-filled believers, that we're in that place, that attitude to pray. You know, those who often don't know how to pray, it could be because most of their praying that they do is centered around themselves and their world. And unfortunately, that is so characteristic of so many professing believers, that so much of their praying is centered around themselves or their world, their little kingdom. And that is why they don't really learn to pray. They don't see their prayer beyond themselves. Well, that is not what the Lord's Prayer is about. That is anything than yourself. It's huge, it's vast, the Lord's Prayer. It contains everything within it, as we're going to have a look at. But that often is one of the problems. And that is why, as we turn back to Matthew 6, that I want to start off with actually verse 7. Because it says here in verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. So when the heathens pray, did you know that heathens pray? Did you know a lot of people who don't really know Jesus, they still pray? They pray to God. And of course we pray to God. But they don't know who this God really is. It is just somehow an abstract word. It's some being or someone looks after me, you know, to God. But of course, there are many gods, demigods, and so on. But who is our God? His name is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Christ in God in Christ, reconciling the world. So he says, don't have these vain repetitions. And that is what happens when you do not really know the one whom you are praying to. That is why it says in the word, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And prayer is a deed. So the scriptures clearly tell us that whatever we do all in the name of Jesus. And if we are truly doing it in that name, then we do not come out with these vain repetitions as the heathens do. They think that they will be heard for their many words. And their many words often are coming out of fear and unbelief. They just can't get enough of it off their chest. That's not how we pray, particularly when we pray the prayer of faith. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, here is one of the great assurances. And why is it we doubt? Here is our faith, here is our confidence, right in this verse. God knows before you have even opened your mouth, before you have even said anything. He knows exactly what you are bringing before him. Now, isn't that of great comfort and assurance that our Heavenly Father is in such control of everything that he even knows before we open our mouths before him? And so Jesus said, because he knows the things that you have need of before you ask him, he then confidently goes on to teach this prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray. Because of that, because he knows. He knows what you're going to pray. He knows what is going to come from your heart. In that manner then, pray this, our Father in heaven. And he immediately introduces us in relationship to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Now, of course, to the Jews, that was a stumbling block, because the Jews felt to pray to the Father in this way is very irreverent, is very familiar. And the Jews didn't do that. And yet here is what the Lord is saying. He is your Father in heaven. Abba, Father. And you have confidence before him because he knows, even before you open your mouth, what you're going to say. And then he goes on, hallowed be your name. So his name is to be hallowed, to be reverenced. You're coming before your Heavenly Father. And we come before him in respect. We're not familiar or flippant or just give him a couple of minutes or whatever it is. No, no, we don't. When we come before our Father and hallowed be your name, you are spending quality time in his presence. You are not rushing it. You're not trying to get it all up your chest so that you can get up and do something else. No, 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 no. You are giving yourself time when you come into his presence. This is why I always say, don't rush your prayers. Give yourself time to just meditate and think upon the one whom you are praying to, hallowing his name, which can also be a time of of worship. Sometimes I sing a few choruses or what comes to mind. I sing before him. It's what you know that he takes delight in hearing from us, because he does. And then when you feel it is right to start to pray and to bring those things forth, then you do. And you have the confidence to know that he knows what you're going to say. And then he goes on, Jesus goes on as he teaches the disciples, your kingdom come. So he immediately reveals that our prayers are bigger than ourselves. This is about the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our prayers are directed and are involved with God's kingdom. Now, how vast and how big is that? Where there's no beginning, there's no end. So we begin to realize that when we start praying, we're praying things that pertain to God's kingdom. And we know that Jesus is coming soon to establish his kingdom upon the earth, as he comes to restore all things and raise up the paradise conditions, and to restore his people, Israel, back. So we see great events that are in the future, and this is where a lot of your ministry is going to be when you come back with him to rule and reign on the earth with him. That is where a lot of your ministry will be, teaching, helping, restoring, bringing back this world to recognizing, believing, trusting in Almighty God. So look what we have ahead of us and our future. And it says with his kingdom, your will be done. So what the will of God's, that God's will in his kingdom is the will that will be established also upon the earth. And that is why when we pray, and we pray according to the will of God, and the will of God is the word of God, the will of God is the word of God. We learn his will by what we read. So we are establishing that through our prayers. Your will be done, not my will, but your will. Excuse me, sorry, I'm just trying to get through on the phone. So, God's will is to be done, established on the earth. And to know the will of God, that is why we labour in the word of God. That is why we study the word of God. We embrace the promises of God's word. So we pray over this word. We apply this word, the principles of God's word, in our prayers. So when we're praying for somebody who's sick, a believer who's sick, we're praying God's will to heal them, to raise them up. Unless, of course, he's going to take them home in glory. And sometimes he does. But we have the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide. Or a saint who has need of finances or whatever it is. We stand with them that God will meet those finances, those needs. Or an abusive husband or whatever it would be. We stand with one another and we pray, because as we're doing that, We are doing exactly what it says here, your will be done. And we know that it's God's will that will be done because we read it in the scriptures. So that gives us the confidence to pray and to know that even before we have opened our mouth, God knows. That is why a strong prayer life, an effective prayer life, also includes the Word of God and to know the Word of God in that situation. Sometimes there are some prayers you can't pray, you don't pray because you know it's not God's will. And sometimes you're asked to pray about a situation or whatever it is, and you know you can't pray that because that isn't God's will. But you can pray that God would reveal or God would speak or open the eyes of that person. I mean, I don't believe it's God's will if somebody asks you to pray about someone who is married to somebody else and is going to maybe divorce that person so that they can marry me. I'm sorry, but that's not God's will. God says in his word he hates divorce. That is his attitude toward it. Now we know, of course, it happens. But don't try and water it down. So there are some prayers that people may ask us to pray. We can't pray because it's not the will of God. Because it goes against your will be done. God's will won't be done in that situation. Are you going to pray for somebody who rings you up and says, look, I know you're a Christian and you walk by faith and everything. Could you pray that God would bless me with £100,000? I could do with it. Well, you know, you pray that God would bless them with what they need. That's how you pray, and that God will speak to them or deal possibly with that greed or insecurity or whatever it would be. I've had these people who've asked me at times over the years, but I know I can't always pray your will be done because that is not his will. I mean, you know, I've had some people ring me and say, oh, can you pray and stand with me that I can get this job in this nightclub? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not praying for somebody to get a job in a nightclub. You know, I wouldn't want even my own son or daughter, if they knew the Lord or not, I wouldn't want them working in places like that. So we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there are just some things that we just know that are not right. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are obviously on earth and our Heavenly Father is in heaven. So we are praying what is in heaven to be established on earth. So that is what our praying is. And a lot of our praying is praying for God's kingdom to be established upon the earth. That should be a lot of our praying. It's there in the Lord's Prayer. That is why that we pray for our leaders, government, those in authority, and so on. We pray that God would lead them and guide them. That God would give them the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. And do they need wisdom in which to govern and lead and guide? So our prayers that are coming from heaven, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is beginning to establish and work what is in heaven even in the things of this world. In Europe, in this country in particular, we know that a lot of things are not as they should be, but we equally know that we don't have a government like the Chinese have, or Russia, and I thank God for that. I thank God that we've had saints over the centuries who prayed for leadership, who prayed for parliament, who stood in the gap, praying the principles of God's kingdom. And we have, or had at least, a lot of principles of Christianity in this country, government built upon those principles. Sadly, they are eroding. They are going because we are beginning to see the new world order coming in. But that is only going to be temporary. That is the falling away that Jesus said. But that doesn't stop us praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Even in the time of apostasy, which we are now experiencing. But we don't give up. We stand in the gap. God has got a remnant who is still praying his will. Because once the overcomers, the church, the bride who makes herself ready, is caught away, raptured, we know then, particularly for the last 3.5 years, it's going to be the worst place you could ever live. But up until then, we hinder, we stop it, we push it back by our prayers, our warfare, praying the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on, give us this day our daily bread. And how essential that is, that we have our daily food. I heard today on the radio, they are so concerned with this epidemic, this global epidemic, that there is going to be food shortage. And many of the third world countries, we could see starvation. And these are the words they said, on a biblical scale. Now, that alerted me to start praying, that God will have mercy, to pray God's will, God's kingdom. And God's will is to feed man, to feed us. That is his will. And I believe we need to stand in the gap now, brothers and sisters, on this, and start to pray that God will provide food globally, particularly to those, the poor, the third world, the destitute, who can't afford it. We need to stand in the gap now. It's urgent. And I know when I hear things, when it's urgent. And that's what he says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's why we give thanks, we thank him. Because it is our daily bread, it's his desire to feed us. Because we don't get that, we don't survive. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And there is much that is made about forgiveness. If you look at a lot of the chapters with regard to prayer or how to pray, very often it's involved also with forgiving. Not holding these grudges, resentment, unforgiveness. And at first he says, forgive us our debts, our shortcomings, our weaknesses. When we falter, when we fall, forgive us, Lord. And he does. In his mercy and grace, we were aware of it. In other words, we are aware that we live in a sinful world, a fallen world. and we can be vulnerable. We can trip up. So we're seeking God. We take it seriously. Because when we fall, it's not really about me. It's what it does to him. It's about his name. It's about his glory. And we forgive our debtors, those who do us wrong, who cheat us, who lie, who scheme, steal from us, abuse us, or whatever. We pray, we forgive them. We stay before God until we know in our hearts we've forgiven. Because sometimes you don't get it immediately. You can't just rattle off a prayer. Sometimes you have to stay before God and say, Lord, I need help. I can't get free from this. There's still this resentment. There's still this anger there and so forth. I need the blood of the Lamb to cleanse me, to heal me. And you know, if you mean that, he'll do that. The very prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, would be the very prayer you would pray as well. And so that God can forgive them through your intercession. And in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation. So again, we are very aware of our weaknesses, particularly these few verses that we've been looking at. That we can falter, we can be tempted, we can be led astray. That is why God will let you see your weaknesses. He'll make it very clear in your life, my life, and we have them. For the very purpose that it throws you desperately upon him. And that he will help, he will lead, you'll find that way of escape. But deliver us from the evil one. So finally, we come to the one who's really working behind all of this, who tries to deceive us and trick us and so forth. Deliver me from the evil one. In other words, don't hand me over to him. And sometimes God has to allow a believer to be handed over for a season to the enemy to deal with them, to bring that true repentance, that true brokenness, whatever God is trying to do in that person's life. And the Apostle Paul used to do that. That is always the last resort. But God forbid that that would never be of any of us. And this is why God is working that obedience within us. Because it's better, greater than sacrifice. Many can sacrifice, many religious people sacrifice, but not so many are so good at obeying. And that is ultimately what he's working within you and I. He says, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as he's sort of closing there, he reminds again of where the power comes to change us, to deliver us, where our prayers are answered. Because he says, yours is the kingdom. It belongs to you. And it's your power and it's your glory. And so we need to experience and know the power and the glory of God in our prayer time. That this is the very power of God working through me. The very power of God is helping me to be steadfast, faithful in prayer. Particularly sometimes if the Lord wants us to pray something through for a season. And sometimes he does that. And then suddenly that burden lifts and it's done. It's answered. And that's the power of God. And the power of God's power through you is for what? For you? No. For his glory. That's why he empowers you. That through you, that glory will come back and glorify his name. That is why he knows even before you pray before his presence. Forever and ever. Amen. So be it. That is God. He has the final say. Not you, not anyone else, not man. That is God. That is how he wants us to pray. And then it goes on in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So he comes back again. He's reminding. Now, very often in teaching, you introduce it, you touch on it, then you carry on, and then you go back to it. That's often how the Bible teaches us. That's how a good teacher teaches people. It's going over, it's chewing over the cud, in other words, that idea of going over it again and building upon it. And this is what he's doing. Again, he's coming back to the basis. This is so important because if you don't forgive, if you are in sin, your prayers will not be answered. And the enemy will let you think they are. We have many in churches, sadly, who think their prayers are being answered, but they are not. They're deceived by the devil. And they have unforgiveness, resentment, sin in their lives. And God will not have that. And he says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And it's absolutely clear. And some people see that and some don't. And if I hold resentment or unforgiveness in my heart, then that hinders. And neither will God forgive me till we deal with it. Because otherwise, this wonderful prayer that our Lord teaches us is in vain. It'll go no higher than the ceiling. So, that's the model prayer that our Lord is showing. And he doesn't want us to be like those hypocrites who like to show off their prayers and recite them and how eloquent they are and beautifully said and so on, which churches are filled with that type of praying. I know I came out of it, chanting them, saying prayers week after week and so on. They are so blinded, aren't they? I mean, it's so clear here when you read all of this, and yet why is it they can't see it? Why is it that they are so blind to what is so clear when you read it here? Well, that's the tragedy of sin. That is the tragedy of religion and what it does. And that's why when we pray, we go into our room, into our closet, and we shut that door and we come before our Father in secret. And it's between you and him. That is your intimate time with your Heavenly Father. That is not for anyone else. That is you and God. And it reminds me between the intimacy of a husband and wife. And that is your intimacy that you have with your Heavenly Father. That is how important that is to our Heavenly Father. That is what he wants from you and from me, that we come before him. And that also speaks to me of how important our prayer life is. And finally, I want us to look in Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there, of course, is our problems at times. That old flesh can be weak. Sometimes it's been a hard time, or you're just tired, and it's just difficult to try and pray and so on. But God has a way, doesn't he, of reviving us. He has a way of just empowering us, even when we are weak or when we are tired or whatever it is. But he says, watch and pray. So we note that in our prayer, our praying, it also makes us watchful. And we know how essential that is, particularly now in the times that we live. And with the coming of the Lord shortly, it causes us to be watchful. Because when you are watchful, when you are seeing, that helps you to be able to pray. So what God reveals to us, or what we hear, or what we read, that enables us to be able to pray. That's why we send these things to one another, or we listen to the news sometimes. We send these things through our email in order for us to be able to look, to read, and to be watchful. And if the Holy Spirit leads, then to take it before God in prayer. And we certainly are seeing a lot of things that are happening in which we need to pray. And so the two go together, that watching and that praying. And if you're a man or woman who is a prayer, then you are also going to be watchful. And God is going to bring to your attention those things that have need of prayer. Intercession, supplication, or warfare. You will know because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. And so I believe this is another reason why we're to pray and to be in the attitude of prayer. You know, those who often are looking back are not people who are watching. They don't have much of a prayer life. In actual fact, I have found through counselling over the years as a pastor, those who have backslid, when I counsel with them, it doesn't take me long. I generally ask them a question. What has your prayer life been? What is your prayer life like? And I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they will tell me it's not very good. And they wonder why they backslide. They have neglected one of the most important things that is part of the Christian life and walk and ministry. It is putting God first, ministering to him first and he to you, going into that closet. Very often, these people that don't do this very often, their prayers, they're shallow. And that's because they're shallow. As I said at the beginning, a lot of their prayers is just about themselves or just about their family, and they can't move beyond that. I know people that are like that. But that is not what the Lord's Prayer teaches us. Anything but. And so finally, let us remember that when we pray believing. Because if we're not believing, then there's no point in praying. But we believe because we read it. God says he knows even before we open our mouths. Heavenly Father, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for helping and guiding us. We know, Lord, that there is much to pray on. There's an awful lot going on. But Father, help us not to pray out of fear or emotions. Help us to pray as the Holy Spirit reveals. Help us to pray because our prayer life is causing us to watch, to be watchful. You had the watchman with Israel, who stood afar and gave the warning. And we in many ways are a prophetic people in these last days, watching and praying. Because what we see, what is revealed to us, is what you want us to pray and bring before you. Father, help us to be faithful to this, particularly now in these closing days. Teach us more, Father, how to pray. Lord, we still have need of learning much more. And that's why you've given us your precious Spirit who comes to lead and guide and teach us. Lord, we're open to learn more. Show us, Father, how to pray even more effectively, not for our purpose or benefit, because you're glorified. Father, we are so fed up, so frustrated that it seems as though the enemy gets all the praise and all the glory. And something within us rises up and says, enough is enough. Make each one of us jealous for the glory of God. And I thank you, Father, for our meeting tonight. I pray you'll bless my brothers and sisters. Be always with them. Keep them whole in mind, body and spirit. May they ever walk in fellowship and in covenant with you. Give them that boldness. Ever help them to be watchful, to be faithful, steadfast in prayer. And I pray above all that you will cause them to look up as their redemption draws near. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
His name. Jesus, everything should bow.